SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick. Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
A very good Monday, race fans. And we're, I think, experiencing a little audio question, as I'm not sure that the studio's getting me. Joe, let me know if you can, and we'll see about... Yeah? Yeah, you're good. All right. I'm not getting much of a return, so we'll have to work on that so that when we bring on guests, I'll be able to hear them, because I'm not getting anything back. I very barely can. I heard just a little bit of the intro. So, all right. There we go. Now, good morning, and we'll see about where we stand in a little bit. And meanwhile, let me talk a little bit about the difficult weekend, specifically Saturday, obviously, and the Haskell, I guess, postponement, delay. You saw it unfold, and you could almost see it happening right from the get-go. The heat. It was tough. There's no doubt. And when you listened to Dennis Drazen on Friday, you sensed what they were going to confront, and they did it as I guess they played the hand that was dealt, and that included the governor being concerned and expressing concern, and you know, the delays to start the card, and then the decision after the two races to scuttle everything except the six stakes and restarting at 6 o'clock. And it was not optimal. It inconvenienced and obviously disappointed a lot of people that, you know, made the effort and the commitment to come out and be there. So from that standpoint, a frustrating scenario, to say the least. And beyond that, everything went off all right once they started, you know, putting horses in the gate and running the stakes. So, what's the fallout? I don't know. I don't know. There's been plenty discussed about how this was not a concern years ago, and now with the acute focus and concerns about the animal welfare issues, and you know, a situation created for the entire industry by one organization. It seems like this will be a ongoing concern. Too hot to run, too cold to run, who knows? It's a very difficult operating scenario overall to me. I mean, what were the options? The options included postponing or canceling, moving the card to, I don't know if Sunday was any better. They ended up canceling Sunday, I think in part, because their people had been on hand Saturday all, for those that arrive early and had to stay till, 9 o'clock or beyond. It's just inappropriate to me that's the underlying story that had to be imposed on what is generally a the best day of the meet and the biggest day of the meet for Monmouth. As for the racing, the racing did what it had to do. It didn't disappoint, and that included really a Haskell that will be memorable for all kinds of reasons, including the backdrop, obviously. Maximum Security and Louis Saez have to survive an inquiry. And my view of it, I didn't think for a second that Maximum Security needed to be disqualified. And there's actually some interesting portions of that discussion that that really does have some postscript to it, and that includes the difficult angle that you get on the turns like that, where the head-ons don't give you a clear picture. But I can tell you one thing. Nick Zito, who joined Seth Merrow and I yesterday on television, Nick pointed out the slightly unusual little sort of point that the rail has that has contributed, I think certainly contributed to the way in which King for a Day didn't have as much room from one jump to another. And let's be Johnny. I understand what Johnny, what Johnny said. What else is he going to say? But King for a Day was dropping anchor. That was evident. He was not going on with it, frankly. The race came down to the two horses it was going to come down to in Maximum Security and Mucho Gusto. And Maximum Security, and I want to fold in War Stories when with Saez, Saez looks absolutely, and War Story in that Monmouth Cup earlier, it doesn't look like he's going to stay on, and it doesn't look for a minute like like he's got a chance to hold off Pal Harbor, and in fact he does. And it could also probably worth noting that both horses were on the inside of their respective pressure. So the inside might have been a little bit better, but boy, Louis Saez, I said this yesterday, riding on at an absolute elite level, and after shaking off the Derby DQ, which devastating and heartbreaking and so forth, Saez just riding brilliantly, and so is Joel Rosario. We'll get to him in a little bit when we talk about what happened in California. But obviously, the Haskell, and now the potential for Maximum Security to go on, come to Saratoga, and he's going to do that. Jason Service is bringing him up here, and he'll train here. And if he's feeling good, he'll compete in the Travers, which will go a long way to decide your three-year-old champion. undoubtedly, this will be the best post Triple Crown season confrontation. And then again a month later at Parks in the Pennsylvania Derby. So from a competition standpoint and from a shuffling of the deck standpoint, the three-year-old division, Maximum Security is the top three-year-old. This is his fifth straight triple-digit buyer. Isn't necessarily increasing. He's run a 102, a 101, a 101, a 100, and now another 102. But frankly, in this era, five straight 100-plus figs, a pretty nice run. And he does seem to be just basically maintaining the form from the winter. You know, he's now 5-for-7 with the Pegasus, the comeback prep for the Haskell to King for a day. And now we'll look forward to Jim Dandy Saturday. And then however the sophomores mix and match in the Travers, including game winner and whoever's going to come out of the Jim Dandy this weekend. War of Will, Tacitus, I mean, everybody basically that's healthy and you would want. Mucho Gusto ran very well. Nice follow-up to the affirmed win. Spun to run, we should mention. Finished third in here. Juan Carlos Guerrero, who was so high on the horse coming in. And basically, you know, somebody had to be third. And the concept of ever fast, you know, being able to clunk up, that didn't come about. And it's not like the splits weren't honest and fast, frankly. 22-4, so a moderate opening quarter. Then a 46-3, 110 for three quarters. 134-4 for a mile, 147-2 to stop the clock. And Maximum Security was three wide early on the into the first turn. And then slowly, Saez tried to get a little better position. And I know some people are criticizing Joe Talamo. There's a few things that people seem to love to do, and one of them is criticize Joe Talamo. It doesn't matter what he does. It's amazing. You know, somebody's saying, "Oh, Mike Smith was a well, okay." Except that Joe Talamo's ridden Mucho Gusto every start of his career. I mean, Baffert can't give every horse to Mike Smith. It's funny. I saw that. I was like, Jesus, what else was he supposed to do? They were eight lengths clear of the rest of the field. So that was the highlight, and I suppose to some degree a low light when it came to the way in which everything unfolded. We left. We had the opportunity. We saw the chance. My father and my brother was coming up to see my dad, and when it became apparent that things were going to, you know, not run until, you know, the early evening, Tina and I headed north, and we went to Connecticut. Got there about, I don't know, 4:45 and spent the afternoon, evening, early evening with my dad, which really kind of proved to be the right choice for us, anyway. I would have loved to have stayed, but we weren't going to then, you know, get back at God knows when. But under the circumstances, they did the best they could. I don't necessarily, I don't know what else, I mean, other than having canceled right from the start, I don't know what else they were supposed to do. The rest of the card, I mentioned War Story winning that cup. And, of course, Midnight Bisou with a kind of an interesting, kind of an interesting 5 cents on the dollar victory. Coach Rocks ran terrific. And in fact, Dale Romans with a couple of interesting maneuvers, including sending Coach Rocks to Monmouth and her good performance there for Roddy Valenti. And also he sent the seven trumpets out to Ellis instead of running against some tough allowance foes, went and got a nice $75,000 stake win at Ellis in the, what was it, the Good Lord, right? The Good Lord, I think. So Dale with a couple of nice, clever moves. I'm so fancy in that reduced matchmaker for Arno Delacour for the Jacksons and Just Howard, Graham Motion, and Trevor McCarthy with both wins in both the matchmaker and in the earlier in the Oceanport. You know, and there obviously there were horses that ended up scratching. And, you know, Jovia, for those that didn't know or didn't hear, there wasn't any heat issue or anything that Jovia that affected the decision by Greg Sacco to scratch Jovia. He was having a little tenderfoot, so had some heat. And so Greg Sacco choosing to come out and regroup, see if he turns up as early actually as Saturday in the Jim Dandy. See what they're going to do. Plenty of choices. The other stake that got run, the Wolf Hill. And Tom Clark, the Justin Philip Colt, Justaholic, with Jose Ferrar. So Monmouth pulls it together under a very difficult set of circumstances. Let me hit a couple of other highlights, a couple of other headlines. And there's really only, I mean, aside from the racing at Saratoga yesterday, terrific at a fascinating 13 race card, starting with the jump race and straight through to the Chuvie. We'll get to that, obviously, and digest everything and also some of the Friday action. But the news, of course, on Friday, mid-afternoon, that Mary Lou Whitney had passed. And Mary Lou Whitney, just an icon. A person that became so important ultimately in the history of Saratoga that you can't overestimate, you can't overblow her influence and lasting contribution. It can't be overstated what she did and what she represents. She not only resurrected and rebuilt the Whitney stable, the Eaton Blue and Brown. The way she did it was fascinating because she went out and sought after the bloodstock that had been kind of tossed to the winds to some degree. And from that, from that origin, she was able to really reinvigorate and have really protracted success. And we'll hear from Nick Zito. We'll hear from Ian Wilkes. But there's so many young horsemen that went out. Norm Cassie. They helped she and John Hendrickson and thoughts with John. They saw an opportunity to help young horsemen. They gave to as many people as would ask. We're going to hear from Nick Karras from Best, the Backstretch employees support team. Mary Lou gave so generously and, you know, helped establish the summer program and more, not just, you know, it wasn't just at Saratoga, obviously, but you know, people, I think of her in a certain, you know, certain frame, you know, as a, you know, as a socialite and that type and philanthropist, but she carried a lot of weight and influence and discussed yesterday. In fact, when I was in college and would come to Skidmore and visit and, you know, come during the, whether summer or during the school year, this town in the mid 70s, everybody, you come now and, oh, and it's so beautiful and so elegant. This town was a little dog-eared and threadbare. Those of you that ever stayed at the Rip Van Dam, you know what I'm talking about, with that the Grand Union there and what's now a nice shopping area. The town has been reborn and reached astounding heights. And Mary Lou Whitney had a lot to do with that. SPAC and the dance museum and on and on and on. Really, it's quite a gal. Let's take a break. Come right back. We'll pay some tribute to Mary Lou and more at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my dog. Stand by me. No matter who you are, no matter where you go in life, you gonna need somebody to stand by you. No matter how much money you got, all the friends you got, you gonna need somebody to stand by you.
When the night has come and the land is dark and that moon is the only light we see.
We're back at the races, and we haven't played this in a while, Playing for Change. And the amazing version of Stand By Me, and appropriate. Good pull, Joe. And Nick Harris is joining us. I could have started with Ian Wilkes or Nick Zito to talk about Mary Lou. I think Michael Veach is going to join us at some point the next day or so to talk about Mary Lou as well. But it really feels appropriate to start with the backstretch and with what Mary Lou Whitney meant to the workers. And Nick Harris, who I've known since I worked on the racetrack, and Nick, sad day for Saratoga, for racing in general, and particularly for backstretch employees who she really cared about in a real way. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, yes. Many sorrowful hearts, because what a lady, and a lady, not just, she was a lady, in and out. I mean, she poured her heart and soul out to the community here in Saratoga, in the backstretch, in Lexington. Also, how about all that she did for the community of Saratoga and the community down in Lexington, on the outside of the racing community. So charitable. I mean, you come to Saratoga, you know, Steve, you go the carousel in Congress Park. Somebody came up and asked her, hey, would you consider refurbishing the carousel and putting it in the park? And she loved family, she loved the children, and she said, yeah, let's restore it. But let me come back to the racetrack. So the first time I met Mary Lou personally was about 12 years ago when they started the Backstretch Appreciation Program. And I had met with her husband, John Hendrickson, prior to that. And he told us what they want to do, this and that. What do you think? You think the people are like this, like that? And everything worked out. And opening night 12 years ago was a movie night on this big projection screen. And it was raining so hard. We didn't realize that the flooring in the tent. Well, listen, nothing was going to stop the water in this tent. But here it is at about 9:30. The headlights pull up. And I was like, yo, who is that? Shut off the headlights. And John and Mary Lou get out of the car in the pouring rain. No press, no media, just us. But to them, just us was huge. And they came and sat under the tent, had a hot dog, had some popcorn, and stayed with us for about 30 minutes watching the movie. I'm not kidding. Listen, the water rose. The water rose to Mary Lou's ankle. And that's something that will always, you know, and she didn't, she was fine. And they, listen, they came from some gala. They were dressed. They were dressed. John was in a tux. Mary Lou was in a gown, and who knows how expensive the shoes were. Didn't matter because she was with the people that she cared about. And that happened 12 years ago when they realized, hey, you know what? We spend so much funding on the ball, that the Whitney Ball in Congress Park. And I remember Mary Lou and John saying that they realized, hey, this is a big party for everybody in Saratoga socialites. What about the backstretch community? And they call it the backstretch community, not so much backstretch workers. And that's something we've learned from them, too, because worker can be a cold term. They're more than workers. They're the backbone. And she would always ask me, hey, did the kids like the ice cream sundaes for what racetrack chaplaincy was? Overseeing, I remember always, she would always ask to send pictures of the kids with the ice cream, eating the ice cream. Just, we're all better for knowing her. So while it is a sad day, we can also rejoice. Strong Christian faith, Mary Lou, and the Bible says, absent from the body is present with the Lord. So we have that assurance. She had that assurance from a biblical standpoint. But, wow, she enriched so many people's lives.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, the program, you would, you know, you'd see it all. You see it all around the track, and all the different events, and the, you know, the dining program. And she just... there was
the dining program, the bingo, and yep. Hey, for 12 years, she would show up at the events.
Yeah.
Not every night. I mean, who could do it every night? Yes, that was excellent. So let me go back if I can share with the audience.
Sure.
So I started working at Blue Hands here for New York Racing in 78, and I can remember working the galas during, well, I guess by then we only raced in August. And I remember the galas, and we were all young back then. And a car would pull up, and it would say, that's Mary Lou, that's Mary Lou. I didn't even really know who Mary Lou was. But we knew that she was somebody in Saratoga, and we were just in awe when she would get out of the car and go into the different events. So it was always like, here's Mary Lou, here's Mary Lou. And I remember that as being much younger in the parking lot, similar to her pulling up to the tent in the pouring rain.
It's funny you talk about that storm. And then, of course, I think for horse players, Nick, as well, they associate her with the rainstorm. The Travers,
yes.
with Birdstone, and you know, that eerie evening,
and then singing in the rain with Ed Louie and John and Maureen Louie. Oh yeah, that's priceless, and that's what I would, you know, that's what I reflect on when I'm thinking about Mary Lou. Yeah, those were special moments for us personally here at Racetrack Chaplaincy. They have been extremely generous to us financially, more so than the finances, which we need to survive. We've been invited into their inner circle, and for the last 4 years, they have private chapel service at Katy Hill. Years ago, it used to be every Sunday. Then it started to become once a year. And listen, it was a who's who in racing, friends that they've had, that Mary Lou had for 50 years would be there.
Sure.
And we just look at that and like, wow, these people are friends, such special friendships. And I've told them over the last 4 years, that's become one of my favorite events in Saratoga is the chapel service, and then you go inside the house. We would go inside the house for lunch, and just the stories and just those respectful people just held in high esteem in racing that surrounded them. I had a small circle, but an impactful circle. And we were invited in, and that was, wow, what a blessing.
Well, is there, how do you pay tribute, Nick? And is there anything that, you know, and it's only been 48 hours, but something to, you know, something to, some way to say thank you and for everybody to, you know, show their appreciation for her and her dedication?
Well, we haven't. Maybe some people privately have gotten to that point. Racetrack Chaplaincy has a few ideas that we don't want to talk about that at this point, but hopefully I can come back on once that all gets clarified and speak to you about it and the audience.
Excellent. Well, I, you know, whatever you need communicated, and you know, Nick, that goes beyond just this situation, but you know, Mary Lou's contributions, and I'm sure on an ongoing basis, it won't come as a surprise if there's something, you know, long term that that Mary Lou has in mind for, you know, for the assistance team and for the chaplaincy. And I appreciate it. I thought of you,
yes,
right away yesterday.
Thank you. And I'm glad I had the opportunity to speak to the audience. And maybe some people are saying, wow, he sounds so happy. And I'm joyful. I'm joyful to have known Mary Lou for those years and to be part of what she did and the loving, caring, and sharing. And I learned from her. I learned from people like that.
Well,
and that, Nick, that's why made me a better person.
Nick Karras, everybody, and the racetrack chaplaincy and the backstretch employees support team that does so much. I mean, virtually every, you know, every possible thing you can think of, whether it's the daycare support for the children and education programs and you know, fun activities and education, every, you know, whatever kind of counseling that is necessary, and every area that that you guys touch on, Nick, and Mary Lou, a highly supportive of every initiative, and
for sure, yes,
one of those people that, you know, that you reach out to and. You rarely, I can't say never got, you know, she obviously couldn't say yes to, she couldn't say yes over, you know, to every
Correct.
Single request, but would go out of her way in so many different capacities. That's one thing you keep hearing repeatedly. Nick, I appreciate it very much. And you know, you got this extra, you got these extra, you know, days off, you know, to some degree, at least the afternoon, Monday afternoons off. And I'm sure it's come as a real, you know, nice relief,
yes,
I think, for
it's
everybody,
a boost,
right?
And we're still all getting used to it.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
I know.
It's like, well, what? I said, wait, we don't know yet. We don't even realize we're off yet. Yes.
Yep. I love
There's
it.
There's no
I love
off
it.
To the 2 days off at this point. And that's another conversation for another day. Yes, please.
You got it. Nick Karras, everybody. Nick, always a pleasure.
Amen. Thank you.
And you know, for our years with the barbecue, and we would, you know, we would do things with Nick, and you know, they would have, you know, particularly on the dark days, you know, back then, the Tuesdays, and we would contribute sausage and barbecue. And Nick is a tireless worker. I from morning before racing, then later afterward, you know, through the whole afternoon, you see him just all day long. Whether it's you know, the different jobs, you know, and everybody on the backstretch, you know, typically has got more than one, you know, more than one job. If you work in the mornings, you might, you know, work on the racetrack in the afternoons, different, you know, different capacities. And Nick, and always smiling. I don't think I've ever seen Nick out of sorts. We're going to stay here. We'll continue to appreciate Mary Lou Whitney. And, you know, we always have talked about the racetrack successes, whether it's with Ian Wilkes recently, Norm Cassie when he got his first stake win this spring, and with Nick Zito over the years. But I wanted to include not just the backstretch work, but also the town of Saratoga. And who better than Michael Veach to join us? Michael, good morning. Like so many, just, you know, just saddened. It felt like Mary Lou would live forever.
Well, good morning, Steve. Thank you for having me this morning. And it did. And, you know, she was just the last of an era for sure, but a wonderful, elegant, sincere, true woman.
Michael, talk about the town itself. You know, I went to Colgate 78 to 82 and started coming here about that time on a regular basis. And people that have only come to Saratoga in the last 15 years, 20 years, they might not necessarily know the transformation, the rebirth of this town. And she had a lot to do with it.
Oh, she certainly did. I mean, I've been here all my life, and there's no question that the Saratoga 2019 is a heck of a lot different than the one in 1969. And, you know, it's fairly well known about their support of SPAC. I would, you know, I think what I'd like to say on it about Mary Lou later in life was a couple of personal experiences. You know, in 2013, we celebrated the sesquicentennial of racing in Saratoga Springs. And, you know, I saw her as she was kind of a unifying force in Saratoga Springs. She brought people together for that committee along with her husband, John. And she supported so many aspects of what we did. And, you know, here, 50 years after Katie Hill and her arrival, she's still making sure that she's helping Saratoga in any way that she can. And, you know, that's just one of the things about her. I mean, her commitment to that was really incredible. And, you know, we'd sit around the table and chat about things to do. And, you know, we just knew that, you know, her and John were going to support it. And I think it was a pretty substantial recognition of 150 years of racing at Saratoga.
She had a real... A real good finger on the pulse of things, Michael. Is that fair to say? She had a real savvy about the course of events and where to kind of lean in and influence.
It's fair to say, and I would say it that happened. And this is another aspect of Mary Lou. What you're describing happened without intrusion. She was a fellow citizen.
Hmm. That was also true of, you know, of things that were going on, you know, at the association, you know, during the franchise debate, and you know, when there's been, you know, certain rifts, and you know, she was kind of a behind the scenes. There were times where she was happy to be out front, but then I think there were a lot of times you would hear, a lot of times after the fact, Michael, right, that, you know, Mary Lou had a lot to do with that outcome.
You know, yeah, you're right, and I would tell a story about the way she was in tune with thoroughbred racing in Saratoga in particular. After Sonny died, she formed her own stable, which you and we know. And Tommy Kelly was her trainer. And so I called Katie Hill and I said, well, now that you're doing this, I'd sure like to do a story for you in the Saratoga. So she says, when do you want me to meet you? So we met at 8:30 in Kelly's barn. Steve, Mary Lou Whitney showed up with notebooks and notebooks of research that she had done on Whitney Blood. And she sat there so happily going through pages of her research. And out of that research came Bird Stone and Bird Town's family. Okay?
Yep.
Good for her.
We talked to Nick Zito yesterday about it, and Nick kind of echoed that, too, that she indicated there were certain horses, and she was keeping an eye on it. And knew when to act, too. I mean, she reestablished it. And was she being advised by many people? I mean, did she have bloodstock advisors, or was a lot of that her own doing?
I can't say about bloodstock advisors. I don't know, but I do know that she went into it full bore after Sonny passed away. And, she certainly had wonderful people around her. And, Nick right there at the top of the list. I mean, the Whitney tradition is getting classic winners if you can, and he certainly delivered on that count. But she just, Mary Lou just brought intoxicating energy wherever she went. And if there was something to learn, she just really enjoyed doing it. And in the case of racing, she wasn't going to step aside just because Sonny was gone. Instead, she was going to make sure that she was aware of that legacy. And look at how she did it.
Very much. And, there's so many things that continue to come out. It's fascinating because I'm trying to accumulate all the various obituaries, yes. And there's things you find out. The Olympics, the in Lake Placid.
Oh, that's
somehow.
Right.
I have never once seen her name associated, but apparently she had a lot to do. She and Sonny had a lot to do with getting the Olympics back at Lake Placid.
Yes. I mean, it's remarkable. I don't really have the proper word, but she was just wonderful.
I don't want to say things like, and yesterday I tried to avoid it on TV about saying, the end of an era, and there's no one, she is certainly difficult to replace. But, there are certain individuals that have, in the game that and will stay in the game, certainly Charlotte Weber comes to mind. And, even yesterday, it occurred to me, I was thinking, who kind of takes the place? Jane Lyon yesterday, who, of course, won the Chuvy, won the nightcap, and someone like a Jane Lyon, and it doesn't have to be female, but Sea Hero died, of course, last week, and Mr. Melon was being fed.
Yes.
They're patrons, and they're people that are so important as pillars. Well, they call it pillars of the turf, but they're foundation. They're really the foundation of the sport.
If racing needs what Mary Lou brought to the table, and it always has, and it's tremendous that it still attracts people like that, because that's an absolutely essential part of thoroughbred racing.
Well, and certainly for the social portion and for the cultural influence in and around Saratoga and really everywhere she went, and it's something that you, as you mentioned, your long history of chronicling all aspects of Saratoga and of racing here and elsewhere in New York and nationwide. And I've got you with this opportunity, and I'm not going to pass it by. The Travers book that you and Brian
nice
Bouillet, it is unbelievable. And it's it's wonderful. I kept telling people, they better bring a forklift because it is substantial, and it's what Brian told the story at the beginning of the meet about how it came about. For your part, talk about what it, what the research and how much pleasure you took in creating a Travers history.
It's the fourth book that I've done, and by far the most fun. And Brian called me, and we've been friends for quite some time, and he called last, I put it maybe November, and he said, look, this is my idea. The book is Brian's idea. And he said, you know, I kind of like to do this with you. So we're friends at the National Museum of Racing. So we spent a good portion of the winter months researching, you know, the Traverse history. And we're lucky enough to have a great library at the National Museum of Racing. So we didn't have to go too far. Keeneland was totally cooperative. The photographers that we both know and love in Saratoga, they were totally cooperative. And it was just a lot of fun to do. And we divided up the decades. And each brought what I think and hope is our own writing style to it. And presto, we have a really fun book, and it's one that, you know, you can, put on the coffee table and open up a page and enjoy that page with the colors and the design, and then go to another page down the road. But it's just fun. And, you know, again, crediting Brian, Steve, isn't it time the Travers was so honored?
Yeah. Yes, and I think, you know, it's funny because just on Thursday, Steve Haskin was you know, really extolling the Travers as, you know, having been elevated and you know, I mean, the Midsummer Derby moniker, which some people bristle at, but basically as a classic. And, you know, you go through the history, and this book will be, there'll be revelations for people as they go through, you know, year by year. I mean, everybody knows Jiper Rydan, but there's so many other great and sort of forgotten moments. Let me hybrid something into this too, Michael, while we have a chance. I haven't yet mentioned here on the show yet today the passing of Jimmy Pico. And how about Willow Hours upset of the Travers?
When we were at the library for the book launch on July 10, I had the opportunity when we each spoke, the crowd, you know, everyone, what are your favorite Travers, da da da, and so forth. And, you know, I mentioned Jimmy Pico. I knew him, and I did a barn interview for that story. And him winning the Willow Hour for winning the Travers for Mrs. Schott was so important. There could not be a nicer man on the backstretch. No. And in the audience, Pat Kelly stood up and, you know, tipped his hat in honor of Jimmy Pico for that one. But, yeah, that's what's in the book. But that's a real fond memory of mine.
And if you don't mind, I can use this with you, too. And, of course, Jimmy Pico, I brought him up with Nick yesterday on television. I was lucky enough to have him on the radio when Val's Prince passed away, and we talked about what a great job he did with Val's Prince.
He
was kind of a bellwether, Michael, sadly, for horsemen who should have stayed right up until the end of their, you know, almost to their life. I mean, he was 88, so that's impractical. But he ran out of clients, and he was not necessarily the kind of guy who was going to go panning for new clients. And he was as good a horseman as anybody of his generation. And when Fred Hooper died, he found it hard to gain new owners.
Oh, I saw Jim in action at the barn. He was as good as any horseman could be. And, you know, Jimmy was not that kind of a person. Jimmy didn't advertise. He just loved being with the horse, and he thought his work spoke for itself, and he also loved his family a great deal.
Well, and of course, his brother Clarence has been gone probably 20 years, and he's right. And Helen, his wife, I think we spoke, and I know she was in poor health at the time that he visited, but it was one of the real pleasures for me. He was living in Pembroke Pines, and it was a real pleasure to me. And we're going to find that audio and put it on the best of page, because, I said this on TV yesterday, Michael, when I was first learning, you know, the PPs and you know, there were certain names that would jump out at you, and you just started to, you know, it's a horseplay is a game of acquired knowledge. You just keep layers of information. And I remember, you know, Clarence and Jimmy Pico, and I was confused early on in the 80s. I didn't realize that Scotty and Flint Schoelhofer were the same person. I thought maybe, and maybe, I don't know if it was because Randy was sending horses out. And I thought that I would hear the name Scotty Schoelhofer and see Flint. And I said, okay, this must be his brother. I didn't know. And it was the same. I think I had the same recollection of Clarence and Jimmy Pico to some degree. But I was really honored to have him on the show. And, you know, I met his, I know his daughter. And we send out our sympathies to the family because he was somebody that just had a real class about him and
he did.
A gentility.
As he did, surely did, Steve.
As did Mary Lou. A combination. Let me ask you about one more book signing too. You must be doing another opportunity to for people to meet you and Brian and sign the book.
I know that we've got the impressions coming up, and I think that's August 3rd. And then we've got a couple in September in Saratoga Springs. And there's probably more that Brian hasn't told me about. he's a pretty busy guy, but he knows I'll be there. It's a lot of fun.
Well, and I will relate it to everybody, but as people come to town, the opportunity to have the book signed and the Travers, 150 years of Saratoga's greatest race. I mentioned that it's sort of a combination of champions and of almost like the Derby, the old Derby press guide that, you know, devotes a page, you know, to each winner.
Yeah.
All the stories behind it. It is a must have. Michael, I'm so delighted to get you on, and I've wanted to have you visit forever. And sadly, under these circumstances with Mary Lou's passing, but you know, one of the most respected writers and voices about the game anywhere, Michael Veach. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I'm happy that we could do this, and thank you so much. And Mary Lou brought us together.
And like she did so many things and occasions, right?
Right.
Michael, thanks so much, Michael.
Okay,
talk
Steve,
soon.
Take care. Bye.
Michael Veach, and part of the Veach empire, the far-reaching Veach family. And I've wanted to get Michael on. We've just never had the serendipitous moment, but he had an opening here and just perfect. So we've talked about Mary Lou for 40 minutes, and haven't even talked really about any of the success on the racetrack. We'll let Nick Zito and Ian Wilkes do that later this morning. Coming up toward the top of the hour, let me get a break in here, and Johnny D will join us. Johnny had a special weekend himself, Del Mar, and more than Del Mar, got a chance to be introduced to his granddaughter. If you haven't seen some of the pictures that Gail has circulated under her media, and I don't know if Johnny, if he sent, I think he did maybe on Twitter, send out a picture of him coddling his daughter's daughter, and we'll talk to Johnny, and I'm sure he'll be overcome. If we know Johnny. Let's take a break. Hour two at the races later. We've got Tim Yakteen. We've got Phil D'Amato and much, much more. Stay with us.